Oh, such a good question.
Well, what do you come with these questions? That's another great branding question.
That's a big question.
That's a very interesting question because it really makes you think about what you just did.
Welcome to the Your Living Brand Live Show. This show is all about how you communicate your value, how you build influence through trust, and recognizing who your audience is and who they are not. Through our weekly conversations with our guests, we will explore different ways to enable you to demonstrate your uniqueness while we ask them, what's your story? And now, welcome our host, Ben Baker.
And welcome back to another episode of the Your Living Brand Live Show. This is Ben Baker. Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being such amazing, guests. Thanks for, for listening in. Thanks for contributing. Thanks for your thoughts, your ideas, your passion. I love that my audience just keeps coming back time after time, suggesting possible guests, suggesting things that I should talk about. And I absolutely love what you guys do. So thank you for being part of the journey. This week, I have Catherine Rara Azario Myers on this show. And that is a mouthful, but she is incredible. You need to be able to get a hold of this woman, sit down, listen, enjoy, because we are going to have an incredible ride. We're going to talk about change management. What does change mean and how to change effectively? Catherine, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I want you to know I drank your Kool-Aid today. So I am right front and center with what you're doing because I've already listened to a podcast and I feel like you're speaking directly to me most of the time when you're doing your show. So thank you so much. I'm thrilled to be here. And I don't care what you call me, but my name is pronounced Catherine Azario.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It doesn't matter. I know you have a thing about mispronouncing names.
I do.
I know you. I know that. So I thought since I already knew this about you, I would just like step right in like a New Yorker would and say, there it is. There's
hey,
my sister.
What you doing?
Hey, you talking to me?
You talking to me?
Because that's not my name.
As I tell people, you can call me whatever you want. Just don't call me late for dinner. I'm good with that.
I love that about you. My friend says, call me whatever you want. Just make sure if you eat, I eat too.
Exactly. I'm with you 100%. And pass the pasta.
Exactly. Ben, it's great to be here, but I don't want to say that too premature. I want to save that for the end because I want to make sure that we deliver something for your audience and our audience to really sink their teeth into, so to speak. Being a Sicilian from New York, I want to make sure that I give exactly what people are looking for.
Yeah. I want to give people a little bit of a history before we get into the change. Let's get into you. Let's talk about where you came from, where you are, and where you're going. Let's talk about the bridge, because the bridge truly is where we're going to, bridge into the conversation on change. So give me a little bit of a history so people have an understanding of what's the context behind the story that we're about to tell.
Okay, great. Well, imagine New York, because that's where I'm from. I was born in Brooklyn, New York. And then imagine, a young girl growing up, understanding that the world is a really big place. And I've driven back and forth from New York to Long Island and to different places. And I was always impressed with big structures and architecture. My family was in the paving business, so their feet were on the ground. They were very grounded, no pun intended. And I was always looking up at what's above. And whenever I saw a bridge, I was mesmerized. So what happened eventually, like 50 years later, I named my company The Bridge because it occurred to me that every time I crossed a bridge, every time I did something in my life, whether I was planting my first flowers at 9, or I was driving my first car at 16, or getting married for the first time, because I've been married 5 times, or getting divorced for the first time.
All 5 times, right?
There's only, one of them is, anyway, I won't get into that. I was going to use a Sicilian. So anyway, the husband I'm with right now, and will be for the rest of our life, I've married 3 times. So every time I did something different, I always thought about a bridge and what else would it lead to? I never really stopped at, hey, I'm planting a flower. It's like, I'm planting a flower and what? So that was my thought process. And it became a very natural thing for me to always go to the next thing, to think about something bigger. When someone was talking to me, I was thinking, well, how far can that go? Let's not just talk about what you're doing right now. Let's talk about how big could we really go with it? And eventually I opened up my company called The Bridge, amongst a few other companies, of course. And I worked very hard to come up with an explanation of this company, because most people want to label things, you know, they want to label it. Is it this? Is it that? They want to relate to it. And being Sicilian, I want people not to relate to it. I want them to figure it out. What is that? I want them to remember that they can't figure it out. But I did satisfy the marketing aspect by coming up with The Bridge as a unique educational platform that demonstrates change and positive action.
I love that. And I want to dive into this before we dive into change, is that I love the fact that you don't want people to put you in a box. They don't want you to have that definition. They say, this is what it is. I'm with you. I want people to think of my brand as, what does it mean to them? What's the value that it means to them? How does it help them? How does it solve their problems? How does it keep them from tearing their hair out? How does it help them achieve their goals? And for every one of my customers, it's different. And that's the fun part. The fun part is that being in business is not about you. It's about the people that you serve, and it's about helping them be better. And, you know, by doing that, they're going to allow you and enable you to succeed. But if it isn't that two-way partnership, if it isn't that bridge, if it isn't two sides of the water coming together, you know, there is no success. And I love the analogy of the bridge. I mean, first of all, both of us come from construction backgrounds. My father was in construction and commercial renovation for 45 years. I started off, you know, sweeping a job site and hauling drywall and pulling wires. So I get where you're coming from, that watching the world grow and watching the world get bigger and watching how things go from being a hole in the ground to this amazing structure and everything that goes along with it and the change that goes along with that and how you manage that change and how you inspire others and how you bring other people along with that change is an incredible thing. So that's what I want to have us explore today. Let's talk about how the bridge helps people change.
Great. Thank you. And as you were speaking, I was remembering when I was younger and I was going to my father's very big office, because he had an office, he paved roads. So he actually would take a hole in the ground and make a road out of it. So he made a bridge by paving roads using asphalt blacktop. And that is a bridge, as well as a steel structure that we can look up at. So a bridge can mean anything to anyone, as long as they go from point A to point B. So I was thinking about that. Thanks so much for taking me down that road. So where do you want me to start?
Well, I think of the David Bowie song. It says, time may change me, but I can't change time. You know, the world is going to keep marching on. Things are going to progress. I mean, we're right in the middle. We're in 2020. We're in the world of COVID right now. But it's not that COVID will define us. It's a step along the journey. And take it from there.
Yeah. And Ben, we're actually in the world of eradicating polio.
Yeah.
I'm a Rotarian. So as much as we're in COVID, we are at a monumental moment in history to have polio eradicated. Think about that. Like, just let that sink in for a minute. I believe that we all create what we need to create. I'd like to talk about the bridge as helping, just like you said, but not saving. The bridge is not a lifeboat. If someone wants to be saved, that is not what's going to happen at the bridge. They will be helped. I don't want to be saved. I want to help myself. And if there's a damsel in distress or a dam in distress, would that be the right way to say it? Damn, if you're in distress.
Damn, you're in distress, you're in trouble.
You're in trouble. There's somebody else that we can talk to. But when you want to come into the bridge or cross a bridge, think about that, taking a walk in nature. You want to cross that. You want to do something that is a positive action and change. You don't want to be saved, because that's a different physical state of being. So I have a lot of fun with people. And I really have to mention this. I really have a lot of fun with what you wrote on LinkedIn. I'm a whale catcher. And I had to respond to that instantly, because part of my purpose, core purpose, I am statement is, I'm the whale you want to catch. I never met anyone who wrote, I'm a whale catcher. So I thank you for that. That was great to verbalize that.
Yeah. And let's get into the context behind that. It's just that I love large clients. I love people that are complex. I love people that have challenging problems. I love people that have huge dynamics and they see things in a multitude of different ways. And there's different opinions, different philosophies, different wants, needs, desires within the same company. And being able to amalgamate all those things, to be able to bring people together, to be able to take all those people and enable them not to believe what each other believe wholeheartedly, but enough that they can all move in the same direction. Now, they're all going to take out of it something different. They're all going to have their own victory that comes out of the end process. But it's being able to get them to at least understand that here's the light at the end of the tunnel. This is what we're marching towards. And we're not really sure how we're going to get there, but we're going to get there together. And it's going to take all of our skills and all of our adaptability and all of our desires to get there. That's where I am in the Whale Hunter. I love the big, complex, meaty, hairy, scary stuff.
I love that. And when I came up with the core purpose of I'm the whale you want to catch, I thought about, do you want to catch a whale? And can you?
That's right. And how do you eat it?
Right. What do you do with it? Yeah. So one person said to me, do you think of yourself as a whale? I said, I think of myself as a woman in an elephant's body. That's number one, because I never forget. But catching a whale, that's a task. People go through great lengths to watch, to see a whale. So when I thought about that core purpose, I thought, that's a bridge. Go ahead and find someone who says they want to catch a whale. When I thought about you writing that, I'm a whale catcher, I had all these stories that go right across my mind, which is what you're all about, right? Stories of people relate to something. They come up with their own story. I'm a whale catcher. What are you, a fisherman? Like, what does that mean? Do you live on a boat? Like, to what degree do people really take that? People want to create a story that they understand. And you and I both have a very similar perspective on, I don't want to give the answer to the story. I really want that to be the creation. So I know everything that has to happen in terms of change for me. I know that. That's what I'm good at. When it comes to you, you know what has to happen, but think of yourself as an Olympic gold medalist. You still have somebody that's going to help you get there because you're focusing on your skill. So you're a great whale catcher. You're a great swimmer. You're a great man and company that teaches people how to create their own podcast. But yet there needs to be someone else there to make sure that all those loose ends don't start unfrazzling or unraveling and frazzle you. And I think of the bridge as the part or the parts that are necessary to face as opposed to avoid.
None of us can do anything alone. We're all on this journey together. We're all on this journey called life or business or marriage or, you know, raising kids or whatever. None of us do this in a vacuum. And none of us have all the answers. None of us have all the skills. None of us have all the ideas and thoughts and whatever that we need to be able to accomplish something. We have to rely on other people. We have to sit there and say, these are my strengths. These are the things that I do really, really well. And these are the things that I'm really bad at. And be able to embrace both and not beat ourselves up for the things, oh my God, I can't paint, or I can't code on a web, or I can't, you know, do photography very well, or I'm not a good accountant. Who cares? There are people out there, that's their jam. That's what they love to do. Those are the things that get them up in the morning. Make those your friends. Make those the people that are part of the journey with you, that, and take them along on the journey, because as the expression goes, we're all stronger together. And when we're trying to create change, I have an expression that I use whenever I'm doing change management for companies. It's leave no person behind. When you come with the philosophy of leave no person behind, these are the people that need to be on the boat. Make sure everybody's in the boat. Make sure nobody falls out of the boat. Make sure nobody drowns. Because when you do that, the journey isn't as sweet. When you all arrive at the next shore together and you all have survived the storm together, you're stronger because of it.
Yes. And that makes me think about the team and who we choose, because it's important to know who we're going to put in our lifeboat or who we're going to put in our ship or who we're going to put in our plane. If we chose these people, then we're committed to them and they're committed to us. So leave no one behind yet, make sure that those people are people that are committed to you as well as you to them or us to them, so that we have some synergy, some common denominator. Because if we're building something fantastic and I'm your right-hand man, so to speak, but yet I'm just not cutting it, then we have to put me in another position and take someone else to do that. We cannot be nervous about saying, well, Ben, you know, at this moment, I think you'd be better in the front of the boat than the back of the boat. We have to be able to take that initiative and make an observation and take a look at what's around us. We have to listen to the unspoken word as well as the spoken word. Listen to our intuition. And we were talking about this just before we went live. We're talking about how you use your intuition when you speak to your clients about what they need, because you can provide solutions based on the situation at hand. It's not cut and dry. This is what it is, step one, and this is step two. When you come from a background of construction, think about a house, think about paving the road. It's not this is the first step and that's the second step. You know what the end result is, but somehow, some way, you have to be able to constantly assess and adjust and adapt so that this construction isn't a destruction. It is constructing. It's putting together, constructing a story, constructing a podcast, constructing going from point A to point B. I like to talk about the bridge concepts and what people come out with. And basically, we take a concept, convert that to an insanely profitable deliverable. And someone said to me today, oh, does that mean it's business related? I said, absolutely not. Why does a profitable deliverable have to be about business? Why can't it be about a stay-at-home mom? Why can't it be about buying a house? Why can't it be about your time and not wasting it? Why does it have to be a 6 or 7 figure income person? And that's what they do. Why cannot an insanely profitable deliverable be something right in your own kitchen?
Well, and to me, that comes down to leadership. I mean, the whole thing that you've just talked about, it comes down to leadership, vision, inspiration, and communication. Great leaders understand first and foremost what they need to do to inspire other people. What do they need to do to get the best out of people? Because they understand the people that they're trying to motivate. They understand what's important to them. What are the things that they're good at? What are the things they're bad at? What are the things that, you know, get them up in the morning? And what are the things that frustrate them? And when you can understand that as a leader, you can sit there and say, okay, let's put the right people in the right position to be able to succeed. I know stories of a woman. She's an executive assistant to the president. She was the vice president of marketing for the same company. Okay. And she went from being the vice president of marketing to the executive assistant. She loves where she is now. This is now, you know, because she realized what her true superpower is. She is the power behind the power. She has her fingers in everything. She, you know, she's amazing at the politics. She's amazing at the thing. Most people would sit there and go, oh, you went from being a vice president of marketing and you're an executive assistant? Think of what a great executive assistant is. They are almost a second in charge. And it's understanding that this person was better served in this position, and that's where their superpower is, and that's where they're going to shine compared to where they were absolutely miserable. And take the talents of that person and enable them to succeed. And when we're building change within organizations, that's the first thing that we need to look at. And whether it's, you're right, what's success look to the people within the boat? You know, individually, not just we as a company are looking to do this. Okay, great. That's an overall arching thing. The question is, as you were saying, how do we get there? How do we get from A to B? And there's 100 different ways to build a road. Now, there's 100 different ways to succeed. How are you going to succeed as an organization, as a person, as a leader, whatever, based on the reality that's put in front of you? Hi, everyone. Do you want to be your best customer's vendor of choice? Do you want to cement relationships with them, add real value, and gain insights that your competitors just can't get? Go to podcasthostforhire.com. That's podcasthostforhire.com. And let's work together to make you the value vendor of choice.
You know, one of the things that I just recently really focused on what would someone say that they came out with if they dove into becoming what I call an ambassador, because to me, the word clients is used all the time. So I coined the word ambassador. And the example that you just gave of that woman is a prime example of how I would describe my ambassadors learn how to empathetically negotiate and think about being empathetic with yourself. So here you are in this position, but how to empathetically negotiate means how to do that with yourself. And therefore, it might mean to take a lateral move, a step to the left, a step back, a step forward. It may mean to take a pause, because negotiating and taking the bridge doesn't mean we go from a dollar to 100 to 1,000 to 10,000 to 100,000 to a million. It could mean for someone to be able to take a deep breath, to get home, to be with their family. Success is different for each person. And that woman in particular made her choice. You know, some people think that they're sabotaging or self-sabotaging, and people do. You know, they think they're failing because they thought they were going to do this and now they're doing that. That's part of the whole journey. There's no robot here. There's no ideal way to take step one. I mean, there are seven-step programs for many things, but in life, how many steps would you say we're going to take in the course of our lifetime? And they're not wrong. They are what they are. We just need to be aware about that. And if we're not aware, then that's a phase that we're not aware of. And that's fine. That's what it is. It is what it has to be. But when you talk about like this woman and stories and what people do, and when you're coaching them and you're talking to them, that's where a bridge is so important, because you could coach someone for a year, but there might be a point in that where a bridge would come up and you'd be like, I'm not too sure about that. So you would address that bridge and then go right back to your coaching, right? There's a moment in time. It's like dancing. You must dance, right, Ben?
Oh, absolutely. How to dance?
Okay. So I come from from Remember the Hustle. Oh my gosh. Okay. So I used to teach the hustle.
Can That'd you be a fun that? Dance to teach.
Oh gosh. I did that with my first husband. That was the era. There's my accent that I grew up in. And we used to do these dances and spins and, you know, when things were good, a little lift and a little, you know, like a little throwing up in the air and stuff. Not throwing up, but you know, the body.
I understand.
Yeah. Right.
So, not up, disco, Chuck, but putting somebody up in the air. There we go.
Right, right. The disco ball was on. And so in dancing, there are steps. And sometimes you miss a step, but you don't go, oh, my God, I missed a step. You keep going, right? Like there's a step and then maybe the spin was perfect. And what do? You keep at it. You keep spinning. You make sure your hair doesn't stick to your lipstick and hit your partner in the face. You make sure the shoes are flexible enough. You make sure that you don't have a wardrobe malfunction, but you do the dance. Look at the tango. Look at, I mean, there are so many different dances. I'm not relating only to the older ones, but
sure.
There are ways that those dances go where they look good and people can say, wow, we nailed it. But they're still beautiful if they're done with something out of step. And that would be a bridge.
And to build on that, sometimes there's perfection in the imperfection. It's the fact that people just keep going. Instead of just stopping in the middle of the dance and say, oh, I messed up. You know what? 98% of the people may not even notice that you messed
up. Right, exactly. Nobody knows what's supposed to happen. Only you do, like presenting. Who knows what we're supposed to say?
Perfect example. You know, I do keynotes around the world. I gave the same keynote address 40 times. Not once was it exactly the same. Not once. The basic tenets were the same. The stories might have been similar. But did I tell the same story in the same way? Did I walk out on the stage? Did I go left first and then go right first? Did I raise my right hand and then raise my left hand? You know what? You go with the flow. You have to sit there and say, what's important? The important is, are we going to get to where we need to go? If we need to be a little bit flexible here, a little different here, if we need to, you know, we stumbled a little bit, so we have to, you know, present a little bit stronger in the end, then that's what you do. And it's the people that can be resilient. It's the people that can sit there and be adaptable.
Yes.
Those are the people that are going to survive and thrive long term. And those are the people, you know, because most people dealing with change are scared of change. They're terrified of it. They're terrified of the unknown. They're terrified of the what if. They're terrified of, I could fail. Guess what? We all fail in the end because we all die.
Mm-hmm. What about the fear of succeeding?
Or the fear of success. You're right. There's always fears out there. But what we need to realize is the world keeps going and we have two choices. We can either go with the flow. We can either, you know, sit there and say, okay, how do I need to reinvent myself or redo my thinking in order to adapt to what's come up? Or I can cling to the past, you know, desperately and be left behind. And there's too many people, especially today, that are just clinging to the past going, okay, you know, if this will all blow over and my world can go back exactly the way it was, guess what? It never will. And we need, as people, as leaders, as visionaries, to realize that change is messy. Change is something that is unknown. It's unpredictable, but it's going to happen whether we like it or not. So we need to be willing to at least embrace it and sit there and have the mentality of, okay, where do we go from here?
I love that analogy that you're, the picture that you're painting, because this happened. It happened to me, and it happened in a way that became really big. You know, 2013, I was on stage. I was winning an award for gratitude, and on stage, there was a tie, and I meet this woman. Her name is Lori Zelk, on stage. And we had this instant connection. We walked off the stage, Ben, to the bottom of the steps, and we created a company called Gratitude Girls. And here we are in our eighth year doing online shows every single month with audio and video, listening, sharing with people and an audience about gratitude. And from that, after 7 years, decided to open up a product that we could sell. So we did 7 years of community work for that. That was change that we stepped into. And then it happened again. So it didn't stop there. A month later, the same year, 2013, Dr. Energy, who you met, you were on our podcast, we opened up Dr. Energy. Dr. Joe Piazza was in my bridge. And Joe was talking about what he wanted to do in his vision. And from that, we opened up a company called Fun and Powerful Presenters. So 7 years ago, I think 7 years and 3 months, not to be too exact, we opened up Fun and Powerful Presenters. And we took a 2-year break from that change. And we said, let's rebrand. We came right back with the same business, meant to be, and we changed the name to BU Network. While we're in that change again, one day we said, hey, we should do a podcast. Like, you talk about feeling, using your intuition. And now Dr. Energy, as I've named him, and I run a podcast, a weekly podcast, interviewing great people like yourself who've come onto our show and spoken with us and having great conversations. The change is there. The bridge shows up. And a business was born, but it was there. It was in us. We stepped into it. We leaned into it. And you know the amount of work that it takes to open a podcast and to run a podcast.
Absolutely.
You know, we say the word podcast, but we should really say podcast and take
because people who think it's easy, as everybody says, it's like writing a book. I keep telling people, anybody can write a book. Anybody can start a book. Anybody can sit there and grab a piece of paper and create a table of contents and the first 150 words. 99% of people never complete the book. 95% of people never get beyond podcast episode number 10 because it's a lot of work. It's a lot of effort and it's a lot of dedication.
Exactly. Just like putting together a platform like you're doing right now, for people to listen, to hear something, to deliver something to our audience that they could maybe not relate to, right? You and I are both from the same school. We don't want you to be able to paint the picture. We want you to figure it out. We want you to come and chase us. We want you to hear what we're going to say next. So listen, get on the edge of your seat. You know, we want people to say, what are they going to say next? Not, oh yeah, I know what they're going to say. Because I believe that being entertained is as much fun in education as it is in understanding the formula. Because there is no formula in life. It's to keep going. You said it. Keep going. Don't stop. I see people that stop themselves and they say, I'm failing and I have no direction. And I, okay, fine. If that's what you want, it is what it is. If you say it is, then if you say you can, you say you can't, then you're right. So
absolutely,
there's no getting in front of that. If someone says they're failing and they have no direction, I hold space for them failing and holding that space until they feel ready to step out of it. There's no reason to convince someone of anything because that's what they need to do. Support and hold space. If someone says, this is great, I hold space. If they say, I'm failing, I made a mistake, I hold space because that's the lesson. The lesson is there. It's to hold that for them.
It's giving people the ability to move beyond. As I tell people, it says, look, treading water is not drowning. If you're treading water, you're not drowning. Your head is still above the water. You're still in control. You're still able to sit there. You may be resting. You may not be going anywhere. You may be, you know, stuck at the surface, looking around to figure out what's next, but your head is not below the water and you're not sucking in, you know, salt water or whatever. So we need to realize that there are times in our life where we're just going to tread water. And there's times in our life where you're right. We may take a step backwards, but it might be something that we need in order to make those three steps forward, to be able to kick back, evaluate where we are, evaluate what's happened to us, figure out the lessons that we learned, figure out what needs to happen moving forward, and build the strategy to take that next leap. You know, you're never out until you stop. When you stop trying, when you stop moving forward, when you stop, you know, caring, that's when you lose. You know, even if you fail, even if, God forbid, you have a company and it goes under, the question is, what did you learn along the way? And how are you going to take those lessons and become a better person, a better boss, a better whatever, moving forward when you rise again? Because if you didn't learn anything from it, you've truly failed.
Right. How to bridge it. And when you were talking about water, I was thinking about this. I have something against the term go with the flow, because imagine you're swimming and water is getting in your nose and your mouth, and the flow is bringing you down to the bottom. And the flow at that point is sinking. You didn't say go with the flow, but I was thinking, sometimes people say, oh, I go with the flow. And I think, really? Because if you dropped your diamond, 5-carat diamond bracelet down the toilet and you go with the flow, is that what you go with? If you get water in your nose and your mouth and you're in the middle of the ocean and you start sinking, is that the flow you want to go with? So I have this thing about going with the flow. I have this thing about, I'm Sicilian. I like to control. There's no reason I should hide that. I like to control what goes on in my world. And I control when I don't control. Like, okay, I'm going to surrender because I said I am. I need to know when that's going to happen. But I like to have all, but negates it, right? I like to have all these other experiences, but I don't want the water to go in my nose, in my mouth, and start hitting bottom saying, oh, well, I guess this is what I should be doing. I like to control and understand what my
maybe my I should start kicking are. My legs and, you know.
Yeah, right. Maybe I should pay a little bit more attention, or as I tell, you know, my little girls, because I'm a grandma of 7, when you're swimming, just, you know, stick your butt up a little bit because you'll float. And there are different ways to teach swimming, and I'm not going to get into the whole kids thing, but when you don't want someone to sink, you teach them a technique that will stop them from going down. And even for ourselves, besides a life jacket, right? I just need to know how you came up with, and I love that this is what you say, that, you know, I'm a whale catcher. How did you come up with that statement that you went and boldly put it on LinkedIn so we could all go and read that?
The whale, the whole philosophy of the whale came from, I go to Vegas on a fairly regular basis. You know, I go to Vegas on a fairly regular basis. I do keynotes, I go, trade shows, whatever. I love Vegas. I really, truly do. It is a completely different world. You know, it's my Disneyland. You know, I'm not a huge gambler, but I enjoy it. And 1 o'clock in the morning, I just come off the blackjack table and I did all right. You know, I did okay. And I'm walking through the casino and there's this roped off craps table with 4 very large gentlemen. And you have to understand, I'm 6'2", 250 pounds. And I'm telling you, there are 4 large gentlemen on every single corner of this rope. And there's a single guy in the center playing craps by himself at 1 o'clock in the morning. And I realize the chips that he's playing don't fit in the hub. And I'm going, So I go up to one of the pit bosses who I happen to know. And I said, what's the story? He says, yeah, it's one of our whales. He's up about 250,000 right now. But, you know, he could be up. He could be down. He can have whatever he wants. And this guy heard me. He goes, want to play craps? And I said, I can't play at your level. He says, I don't care. He says, I'm just looking for a little company. He says, you want to play craps? So I sat there. I played craps with him for half an hour on his money.
Well, that's good that you lasted a half an hour.
Absolutely. No, I can hold my own on a craps table. I'm certainly not going to, you know, it's not my game of choice, but I can certainly hold my own on a craps table. But this guy was throwing at every hand what I paid for my house.
Wow. Wow.
Okay. Think about it this way. My first townhouse that I had, this guy was, and I mentioned it to him. He says, yeah. And we had this really nice, short 45-minute conversation. But I realized that there are people at a completely different level. There are people that think differently. There are people that are exposed to different things, that money means different things. Relationships mean different. And it opened up my eyes to realize that these are the people that are fascinating to me. It's not the money. The money is not one thing. It's what do they do with their money and how do they get there? Like Corey Warfield, who was on my show a few weeks ago, and you and I were mentioning it. Corey wants to buy a really, really nice car. And I'm not going to mention the type and I'm not going to mention what it costs, but it's way more money than I'd ever spend on a car. He can afford it. I can't. His attitude is, before I can spend that amount of money on a car, I need to have the equivalent amount of money that I can donate to a charity. And he will. He'll say, if I buy this car, there's got to be that same amount of money, dollar for dollar, that I'm going to donate to a charity. And that's what I love. It's people who think at that level, people who are always thinking bigger. Things are people that are always thinking about what if or what could be, or how do I take what I know and be able not only to help myself, but to help others along the way. And that, to me, are the whales that I want to be part of. It's not the people that are all about, look at me, look how wonderful I am, look how much money I have, look how great I am. I could care less about people like that. It's the people that are generous with their time, their energy, the experience that they have, and they're looking to make the world a better place. Yeah, they're going to do the fun things that they want to do in the meantime, but they realize that this is a distraction. And what the real thing is, the relationships of the people along the way. So those are the whales that I truly, you know, are hunting.
And look at that. Thank you for sharing that. And look at that experience that you had standing, walking over to that crap table, because it's called craps, right?
Yeah.
Dice. And accepting the conversation with that gentleman, saying yes to it, not being afraid, not worrying, oh, it's his money, not mine. Stepping right into it. This is your story.
Absolutely. And it's not what defines me, but it's part of my DNA. It's not like COVID will never define me, but what it will do is it will become part of my brand story. It will be part of who I am. And the lessons that I learned through COVID will be with me forever. The lessons that I learned at that craps table are lessons I learned forever. The lessons that I learned, you know, when I was 20 by really doing really stupid things and figuring it out and licking my wounds and moving beyond them are part of what make me who I am today. And it's realizing that change happens and realizing that we are the amalgamation of our experiences, the people that we meet, and the way that the lessons that we learn because of it make us richer people.
That's so true. I'll share a quick story that my husband and I, we always talk together, which is great. That's the kind of marriage that we have. And we talk about how at peace we are with being, we're experience seekers. Like, we really like to have experience. He's an adventurous man. He can tell you stories about when he was in the jungle and how he's traveled to whatever. I'm not going to tell you his story. He'll tell it one time. And we talk about how at peace we are with all the things that we said yes to, because we don't sit here and go, gee, I really wish that we had. We say yes, we take action. We could be sitting down to dinner, and if I say, hey, what would you think about? And he's like, sure, let's go. We don't shut the world off, and we don't turn the possibilities off. So it's not to say that we're flighty. I don't want to give that impression. But the impression is that we are so excited that we say yes and have said yes, that we're not worrying or wondering what's going to be like or what happened. We create our own adventure every single day. Mid-COVID, we moved from being, you know, this is a hard story to tell, actually, Ben. We moved from being within minutes to our entire family to being 115 kilometers away because we knew that we were not in the right place. We couldn't help our family. We couldn't see them. We were in a beautiful luxury building that was on lockdown. And we knew that our mental health, our physical, our spiritual being was not being served. And we got up and we moved to a farmhouse in Niagara-on-the-Lake. And some of the reactions that we got from the people that love us was, how could you do that? How could you leave your family? And I wanted to answer, I need this sanity so that I could be a human being. Because when you feel like you are not serving yourself, you need to take an action. We took a look at COVID the month of March, the month of April, and the month of May, we moved.
It's knowing that about yourself. Catherine, we could talk forever.
Yes.
You could. And I could make this a 3-hour conversation. And you know what? We will do this offline. But I want to ask you one question. We'll make sure that everybody knows how to get in touch with you. We'll make sure, you know, all your contacts in the show notes and blah, 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 blah. But I have one question I ask every guest before I let them out the door. When you leave a meeting, when you get off the phone, you get out of a meeting, you get in your car and you drive away, what's the one thing you want people to think about you when you're not there?
That they are so glad and happy that they met me because I changed something for the positive in their life, that I enhanced their life as a result of that meeting, that I gave them something beyond their wildest dreams that they could never have imagined, no matter what expectations they had, that I gave them more.
Awesome. Catherine, thank you for being the person that you are. Thank you for being inspiring. Thank you for your passion. Love the stories. You know, thank you for being on the show.
Ben, you're welcome. Thank you so much for inviting me and for the friendship that we have. And I look forward to hanging out with you.
Absolutely.
This has been the YourLivingBrand.live show. I want to thank you for tuning in today. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe to the show at YourLivingBrand.live and share your favorite episodes with colleagues and friends. At Your Brand Marketing, we help companies engage, retain, and grow their most valuable assets, their employees. If you're tired of losing great staff and want to retain your best employees, build brand champions and leaders at any level. Contact us for a 30-minute consultation at yourbrandmarketing.com. That's www.yourbrandmarketing.com. Thank you again for listening and sharing. Tune in next week when we ask another guest, what's your story?